there's a train to come. Don't need no baggage, you just get on board. Now all you need is faith to hear the diesels hum. Don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord.
Welcome to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhai, a broadcast ministry of New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. New Hope Church is dedicated to bringing you sound biblical teaching, the truth of God's Word. So get ready for your New Hope for today.
We're going to start a series on the book of Acts. What did the church do after the ascension of Christ? And we need to get back to this idea of what the church is meant to do as the body of Christ. And so let's go to God in prayer. Holy Spirit, I ask, Lord, that you give me the strength to give this word, that your truth comes out of the words of this holy scripture that has been set apart for us, Lord, your truth, and that as your word is proclaimed somehow by the supernatural power, by your supernatural power, Holy Spirit, who indwells us, that we hear the truth of the living God. And we count on your word being implanted in our heart, mind, and soul today. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's children said, amen. I'm going to read from the book of Acts. I'm going to start out now, and I'm going to already kind of include chapter 1, and I'll talk a little bit about that, and then into chapter 2, as we see the church in its initiation. Now, we usually do this sermon at Pentecost, but that's following the book of Acts, so we'll start right away in the book of Acts at the event of Pentecost in the church in this upper room in Jerusalem. So hear now the word of God. So when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them and rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now, there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. They were amazed and they were astonished. And they asked, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, and Judea, and Cappadocia, and Pontus, and Asia, and Phrygia, and Pamphylia, and Egypt, and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and even visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own language, we hear them speaking God's deeds of power. Now all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others sneered and said, they are filled with new wine. Thus says the word of God. Let's go to God in prayer. Holy Spirit, let us hear from you today the words of our Father in heaven, the truth of Jesus Christ, who walked this earth, who shed his blood on the cross, Lord, who was resurrected and raised up, who ascended into heaven and is our King today. Let us hear his commands to our hearts. Let us hear his instructions to our minds. Let us hear his wholeness as he gives us to our lives, that we may walk as Jesus walked, sharing the light of Christ with others. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Recently, there have been a number of movies out that have something to do with the end of the world. I find that kind of interesting. A lot of them go back to this idea of wiping out the world by some sort of contagious disease that somehow infects somebody and spreads. And I don't know if you know this, but in 14th century Europe, there was something called the Black Death. The Black Death, or the Black Plague, as it was often called, was a contagious disease. It supposedly started in Central Asia, was passed along the Mediterranean area. It spread through Europe. It killed close to 60% of the population in Europe. Roughly 100 million people died. People would go into villages. No family was alive. No house had anyone in it that was alive. It was devastating, and it was contagious. Now, here's the thing of it is, there is even a greater contagion that has occurred since the very beginning of time. And that's the contagion of Adam and Eve, who infected every single human being since with a fallen human nature. That includes all of us. We are imperfect people. We have been infected with the disobedience to God's word, and that has passed down to mankind ever since. And it's not hard to see that. It's not hard to see evil in the world. It's not hard to look at ourselves in the mirror and see that we're not perfect, right? Is anyone in here perfect and does things just perfectly right all the time? Anybody want to dare to raise their hand? But see, that's the thing. That's part of the fallen human nature of man. And so that's what I'm saying. You see it. We're not just simply not perfect people. There's a great contagion that was passed along to us. And see, while this unholy contagion brought death to us, there's another infection that brought new life. And in this little room, somewhere in Jerusalem, around 30 AD, a group of people experienced a supernatural phenomenon. They were indwelt, they were infected by the Holy Spirit of God. And they became contagious. And they spread their holy contagion throughout the world. The abiding power of the person of the Holy Spirit leads you, the church as a whole, the body of Christ, to disciple, to witness, to testify the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the most important supernatural gift that God has given the church. Nothing else could possibly have been accomplished and the gospel never spread without the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that infects this holy infection of everyone who believes, who has a sincere, authentic belief in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. We are empowered people. And I want you to understand how this empowerment works. It even starts back from the very beginning of time, when in the beginning God created the earth. And the Holy Spirit hovered over the face of the deep. The Spirit of creation, the Holy Spirit, was there. It's the same powerful Spirit that dwells in the hearts of all who believe. Beloved, you can't explain this in any natural way. And if you've experienced the power of the Holy Spirit, you know what I'm talking about. He leads you, He guides you. And if your mind and your heart is answerable to Christ as your Savior, if you confess your sins, He dwells in you. Now here's the curious part. If you're genuine in your faith, He dwells in you whether you like it or not. And so He convicts you. And yet He guides you and He gives you knowledge if you're willing to hear and listen. See, as we are the body of Christ, the Holy Spirit directs us. And so if that's true, then He must have directed and empowered and assisted the real body, Jesus Christ. He was involved in the life of Christ. I want to run down some of these scripture references. He was an integral work in Christ's work. He was responsible for the supernatural birth of Christ. We read in Matthew 1:20. We just went through Christmas. We read this. For a child who has been conceived in her, the angel told Joseph in a dream, is of the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist proclaims one who is coming who will baptize in the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 3, verse 16, there is one who's coming who's mightier than I, and he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. He was there at the baptism of Jesus. Once again, in Luke chapter 3, a little bit further on, in verse 21, the Holy Spirit descended upon him bodily form, like a dove. That's the best that the people around that saw could explain it. And we can't really even understand what that may have looked like, but the Holy Spirit descended upon him. That was the one theophany where God spoke, and this is my Son who I am well pleased, and the Holy Spirit comes down, and Jesus Christ is there. It's his Trinity right there. The Holy Spirit filled Jesus and led him. Moving further in Luke chapter 4, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness. And Jesus returns to Galilee full of power. Further on in chapter 4 of Luke, and Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. This is dunamis. The word for Greek for power is what we derive for the word dynamite. That's the kind of power we're talking about. Jesus proclaimed the prophecy of the Spirit who anointed his ministry. He was anointed with the Spirit in order to proclaim the gospel and make disciples. They go way back to Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus says, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. In Matthew 12, 17 and 18, this was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. I will put my Spirit upon him, and he shall proclaim justice to the Gentiles. Jesus sends the disciples and promises that the Holy Spirit will speak for them. In Mark chapter 13, do not worry beforehand about what you are to say, for it's not you who speak, but it's the Holy Spirit. Further in Jesus' ministry, he speaks of the necessity of the Holy Spirit to Nicodemus and tells him how he must be born again. Truly, truly, I say to you, in John chapter 3, verse 3 to 5, that unless one's born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. In the upper room with the apostles on the night before Jesus was crucified on the cross, in John chapter 14, he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. That phrasing and the idea of it is another one like me. I'm going to be gone, and there's another one that's coming. Another helper, that he may be with you forever. And that's the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him, it does not know him, but you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. Further on, Jesus says in chapter 15 of John, when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he's going to testify about me. And you will testify also. He's going to make clear in your minds of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and enable you to testify to others. Jesus even submits to death on the cross through the Holy Spirit. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, through the Spirit. And it doesn't stop there, because we know what happens 3 days later. That the Holy Spirit raises Jesus from the dead and raises you to new life. In Romans chapter 8, verse 11, Paul writes, "But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." Now, I don't know how much more we can hammer this point, but you see it throughout the life of Christ. And since we, the body of Christ, the church, are filled then with the Holy Spirit, we are empowered to work. The disciples were gathered in this place in Jerusalem at Pentecost. Now the disciples knew that something was going to happen because Jesus told them. He said in Acts chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, "You will receive power," dunamis, once again, dynamite power, "when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses." And after he said these things, he was lifted up into heaven. He ascended into heaven. Something was about to happen that was beyond their ability to even comprehend or understand. Something supernatural. Something that came out away from the known universe. Apart from the known universe. Supernatural. Above the natural. Chapter 2, we read, "But suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting." Now it doesn't say that it filled the city, it filled the entire house. "And divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and the tongues rested on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them ability." The promise of Jesus and the Father was realized then in this little group of people in this upper room. See, the baptism of Jesus, when the Holy Spirit descended like a dove, and God the Father said, "This is my Son with whom I am well pleased," and Jesus came up out of the water and was ordained and began his ministry. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is related to the baptism of Jesus. Because we've heard from various scriptures, Jesus was baptized in his ministry. He was filled with power of the Holy Spirit. The body of Christ is also baptized by the Holy Spirit. The church, the body of Christ, us, is empowered to proclaim the truth of the gospel. So we're filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit dwells within its members. And what did they do after this occurred? They didn't stop there. They didn't sit in that room. They were compelled to go out of those four walls, wherever they were. They were compelled to get out of there, whether they stood on the roof of the next house, whether they stood in the alleyways, I'm not sure. But people were astonished and amazed, all these people from different areas and different countries. How is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? The baptism of the Holy Spirit is given to believers who, through their authentic faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in them like He came and dwelt in the disciples in the upper room. The church then was anointed and empowered by the Holy Spirit. The church is made up of all who hear and accept and believe the message of the gospel. Now I find this really interesting because way back then, 2,000 years ago, the people who heard the proclamation of the Word of God, the proclamation of the gospel, responded in the same two ways that they still do today. All were amazed in chapter 2, verse 12. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" You know, kind of like, "What's this mean? I want to know what this means." But others sneered and said, they're filled with new wine. They don't know what they're talking about. Some were amazed and some sneered. The first major sermon was about to happen later on in Acts. In verse 38, Peter said to them, "Repent, each of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself." Beloved, you have been given dynamite in your heart. You have been given power in your heart. You are enabled to get out beyond this church, to go into your communities, to go into Washington, wherever you work, Aliquippa, I'm thinking, the West Virginia when you go back there, all of you. So you are empowered and have the power, the dynamite power of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit in your heart, to be a light in dark places. And that light's not contained here for an hour or so in a service in this church building, because we are the church and we are to take that message of power out into the community. We are infected with the Holy Spirit of God, and we are not called. I don't like this, the verbiage of this, and I've come to just even dislike it even more. The church is not called to engage the culture. The church is called to infect the culture. You see, that's contagious Christianity. You get that? That's what we're called to do, to infect the culture. At the end of all this, in the book of Acts, in chapter 2, we read that 3,000 people of diverse crowd accepted the gospel message and were filled with the Holy Spirit. The church was anointed into service by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The most important supernatural gift that God has given the church, by which nothing else could possibly be accomplished and the gospel never spread, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That same Holy Spirit who enabled the disciples to fulfill God's plan is at work in you today. Right now. God will enable you to do the impossible when you are in his will, empowered with dynamite power by the Holy Spirit. Contagious Christianity. Go and infect, beloved. Go and infect. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Let's go to God in prayer. Holy Father, we thank you for the gift of your Spirit. Holy Spirit, we thank you. We know you dwell in us, Lord. We feel it. We understand it. It's not something that an X-ray can show. It's not something that somebody can see on our shirt or in our hair or whatever. You indwell us in a supernatural way to understand the truth of God, to be able to be a light and salt in a dark and flavorless world, Lord. To call us out from this church building, which is not a fortress, but an outpost where the faithful of Jesus Christ can come, can get encouraged and empowered to go back out into the wilderness refreshed, to spread your word, to show Christ to others wherever they go, enabled to do it only through you, Holy Spirit, who dwells in us. All of God's children say, Amen.
Thank you for listening to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhigh and New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church home, please come and visit this Sunday at 11 a.m. For more, check out newhopechurcheco.org or call 724-222-7490. If you've been encouraged by today's message, please prayerfully consider becoming a financial partner at newhopechurcheco.org. Your one-time tax-deductible gift or regular monthly support is greatly appreciated and will help keep this program on the air, bringing new hope to the Pittsburgh region. Love God, love others. That's what New Hope Church is all about. New hope, new life, new family, new mission, all in Jesus Christ. Be sure to tune in next week for more New Hope for Today. Until then, may God bless you.